ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back.
What's up, H-Town, on a hump day? Letting my partner do a little jig.
I think he's doing the robot. I'm not sure.
Can I say that? Or am I going to be criticized?
I think you're all right.
Okay.
You're
out of breath just doing the robot. So we're right on schedule right now. Barry Laminack, Joel Blank.
Give me a minute. Oh, God. All right.
What's up?
Nick Shirara behind the glass. After a good one yesterday and plenty of television viewing from my perspective last night. Way too much sports viewing.
Oh, what'd you watch?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you'll be happy because I watched my Badgers lose their second game of the year in basketball.
Oh, Lord.
They were number nine in the country, too, by the way. But by the way, Nick, the answer to the question, yes, is they put a graphic up. The team with the most wins in NCAA tournament history over the past three seasons. It's not Duke. It's not Kentucky. It is indeed the red and white of the Badgers. But they lost. I watched with Raheel and some great people on Twitter. We watched the Cavs-Raptors game, which was a great game.
You Twitter watched?
Well, people were tweeting people were tweeting me, and Raheel was tweeting me to get involved in the game and then break it down. So then I was watching it, everybody was watching it at the same time, and it ended up being
a twarty.
A really good game. So I watched that.
A Twitter party.
Yeah.
That's a new thing you guys are coming up with.
A twarty.
A twarty.
We had a twarty.
I like it.
And since we did mention the magic word, Raheel, there's a chance that he will be invading the studio calling in or doing something.
No doubt. Record time.
Yeah.
It'll be a new record for the show.
What else? And then, the Bulls and the Blazers, which wasn't much of a game. I fell asleep watching that.
Oh.
So.
You know, I played Mafia 3.
You are all over that lately. Like, you are the original video gangster lately, the way you've been playing Mafia 3.
You know what's bad about playing those video games, like Mafia 3 or Grand Theft Auto?
Please share with me and enlighten the audience.
Is that when you get in your car in real life, you're still kind of like, I don't have to obey all these traffic laws. I can just weave in and out, and I can just do my thing, just like I'm in Mafia 3.
Speaking of traffic laws, Nick breaks them every single day.
Joel broke his first traffic law in his entire life, I think, yesterday.
Yesterday, I got
shut
so
your
tired.
Because
we go home the same way, right?
You hit an old lady in a crosswalk.
No, and we have to get on 59 at the peak of traffic time, right? So I'm always the guy that stays in the proper lane and waits through the lights and the line of traffic.
You're the loser I cut off.
To get onto the entrance ramp.
Thank you, Barry.
Nick goes far right lane, almost like he's turning right on one of the side streets.
Yeah.
Then at the last minute, darts over three lanes of traffic, cuts off two cars, and always ends up, then he calls me and goes, hey, I'm already at the Beltway. Where are you? And I'm just like, okay. So yesterday.
I'm still in line like a good boy.
Yesterday I had enough of it, and I just decided.
You know they don't give out. You know they don't give out Boy Scout badges.
Yeah, I understand very well
for being a courteous driver.
Know your town, man. Traffic that area,
dude,
is terrible.
I'm just telling you, having to drive.
Now, where is
59?
This? Where is this?
Chimney Rock and 59. It's hilarious. He gets mad at me like every day too,
because I can't even see him, and out of the blue, here comes Nick from the far right lane, diagonal over three lanes of traffic.
Have you ever darted in front of Joel?
No,
specifically.
No, I want. To though,
because I would open my sunroof and I'd start throwing things at his car. But I made a point which is very, very accurate about Nick.
Oh,
so Nick's car has a big dent in the front left bumper.
Okay,
when he's coming, cars see that and go, oh, this guy's got reckless abandon and he ain't afraid to hit people. I'm gonna let him do whatever he wants, so he gets in wherever he wants.
Got nothing to lose,
hey.
It's funny because one time I was in the right lane doing the exact same thing that I always do, and I was going to pass him up, and he didn't want to, so he threatened to like go into my lane.
Who
last
he
second.
Did?
Joel did, and then goes right back in. So. But I still kept going.
I don't recall that, but I'm glad I did. If I did,
you just jerked your wheel for like a half a second and went back.
Kind of like when you make a gesture at your mom, but then you think she turned around and saw you, so you stop real fast. What? Huh? No, I didn't say nothing. I didn't do nothing.
I also realized that my current SUV handles a little tighter than the last one. When I do those kind of moves, I used to be able to sway it, bring it back real quick. This one's real like solid tight, and it's like you got to kind of steer it back quick. It takes a little bit more to it. I
got
to be careful.
So you got your first H-Town merge under your belt, right?
No, that's not
true. I think it is. I think it's the first
time. You got
your
first H-Town merge under your belt. How does it feel?
It doesn't feel as good.
Liberating,
it doesn't feel as good as all the road rage you always get out of the way when you're flipping people off.
Oh, it's every day.
Are you not afraid someone's going to put some bullets in your fender?
No, actually, I carry a gun too.
I know you.
So it'll just be a shootout on the. But I had a guy. I was leaving here. I was leaving the station one day, and I was over by Sage. I don't know, but it was by the McDonald's or something. And some dude just, like, cut in front of me. And so I honked at him. Because he didn't signal and he almost hit me. Cut in front of me and then got over a lane. And then I pulled up next to him and he rolls his window down and starts screaming at me. So I rolled my window down. So we literally had a screaming match right there in construction with a cop. And the cop was just watching us.
He's not getting in the middle of that.
Scream at each other.
And
I'm like... But okay, Popo man, you should be breaking us up
for sure.
Not watching,
but that's like the norm around here.
Yeah, I will shout a person.
But like
down.
Guys, you know they're at fault, and then they're the first ones to want to fight. I was driving up Westheimer when I lived in Midtown. I was driving up Westheimer right by Shepherd, and a guy in one like a 1963 Ford pickup truck.
Oh,
like,
get out
all
of the way!
Steel. Like,
get out of the way!
So
yeah.
He just comes darting out, so I honked. He stopped the truck in the middle of the road, got out, looked like he had just gotten off of Pawn Stars, and just starts screaming and threatening.
You got to get a gun, Joel.
All these people are watching, and I just went, hey, dude, this could be very entertaining. And I started filming him, and he thought about it for a second, and he got in his car, and he drove away. I was like, well, I guess you know how to get to people. That really messes with people. If you look like you're filming them, like they cut you off.
I would stop what I'm doing. If you pull out a camera, I'm stopping.
Yeah, that's the best
thing. Really?
Yeah, because I've done it a couple times. If someone cuts me off, like on the highway, I bring my phone up and I kind of do the point gesture like you're on candid camera.
Uh-huh.
They go like 130 miles an hour to try and get out of there as fast as they can.
I think, and maybe I should do that.
Yeah, I think
out,
it works.
I will run
it's
out of
space. It's better than doing some time because you decided to do a Wild West shootout.
I will run out of cell phone space just getting home today. Because I will be recording every single person. Like, what drives me, like, I don't mind the Houston merge, like that H-Town merge. It bothers me if I'm not doing it. Like, if I'm doing it, it's okay.
Right.
Completely okay.
But if it's being done to you.
But if it's been done to
absolutely
me.
Absolutely not.
Like,
unacceptable.
If I get up and do the H-Town merge and then some dude comes from behind me and cuts me off and gets one in front, oh, I'm so pissed. You can't like, up-merge me. Like, you can't out-merge me, right? Like, that pisses me off.
I do it to Joel every day.
He does. And he's also, like, but then by his apartment complex, he's very proud of the fact that he blows off stop signs.
Yeah. Yes. Now, see? Oh, that's me, too. Like, I don't stop at any of the stop signs in the neighborhood, but I got behind a guy 2 days ago that didn't, and I was so mad. Because then I would stop when he wouldn't. Because I would just be like, you see, this is how you stop. So I did take pictures of his license plate.
So here's the thing. Out where I live, too. And again, this it will never change for you guys. It changed for me because when you get married and you have a kid, and your wife's constantly in your ear going, you can't be confrontational on the road anymore because people have guns and your daughter needs a father and I need a husband and all this other stuff. I'm like, okay.
My wife tells me that every day. Doesn't
but
matter.
Like when I'm walking the dogs in our neighborhood and I see someone blow off a stop sign or whatever, oh, I'll start pointing and like, what the heck are you doing kind of thing. Because when you think about it, if I'm going across the street and some dude goes blazing through a stop sign and I got three dogs on leashes, I mean, the kid in the stroller, you know, your neighborhood, you got to keep that a little safer than you do at 59.
Well, you should do like all of the housewives in my neighborhood and just post about it on the neighborhood Facebook
page. So this is what I was going to say. So we do have that neighborhood Facebook page.
Yeah.
And like they are no shame in putting a make, model, and license plate out there and saying, if you see this car with this description, with this license plate, he actually chased me into my driveway and all this kind of stuff.
I better go check our neighborhood's Facebook page. I might be plastered all over.
Yeah. Like these people in our neighborhood, the neighborhood watch, they take it to another level. But can I ask another question?
Yeah.
Why now, when suddenly did 59 become 69? And don't answer that in a sexual manner.
What?
But every time now that I'm watching in the morning, and obviously my wife's on in the morning too, so I'm watching their broadcast. But I looked across the dial. Every TV station now, when they do the traffic report, 69. It's not 59 anymore. Yeah. It's 69. When did that happen?
I think it's been like that. I don't know the explanation. It's been like that for a while.
My guess. Let me just take a guess, and I'm sure that we have a lot of smart listeners. We have a lot of dumb listeners, but we have a lot of smart listeners too. So I'm sure that there is a smart listener out there that knows the answer. But I will take a guess, and maybe they can validate or tell me I'm wrong. But I will guess and say at some point they got federal funding for the road or hit a certain amount of federal funding for the road, and that turned it into an interstate highway as opposed to 59, which was not.
But there's
an
a method
interstate
to
highway.
The numbers, is there not?
Because 45 was an interstate, is an interstate highway as well, and so is I-10. But that was the only two I's. There was I-45 and I-10. Now it's I-69, which is interstate. So I have a feeling it has to do
with federal
funding.
But they used to call it 59-69 because like it was 59 to a certain point, then it turned into 69. Now it's just straight 69. Well, as much as it can be on television,
yeah.
That's how they refer to it. And I was like, when did that change officially come to fruition?
I don't know if they stop signs or any type of traffic.
I want answers, so I know you guys have them. So please, 713-780-ESPN or hit us up on Twitter. We did not do a video today because for some reason or another, we were a little behind and Nick was full of stuff to do and didn't have enough memory on his phone. But it's at Barry is funny, at No Hit Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K.
I'm already getting hate text like really early. I love it.
Because you fired the first shot. Literally, you weren't in the middle of road rage, but you fired the first shot.
Somebody said, man, oh man, Sean Salisbury was great today. Joe and all you guys have been great since 10 a.m. And now we got to hear Barry's loud, unfunny mouth by 1 p.m. You know, you can, that dial moves.
I say it all the time. Homie. You have choices, people.
Punch that dial, homie. Don't worry about it. Punch it.
Well, and at least in this case, it doesn't punch back. But at the same time, the cowardly keyboard confidence is always glaring on text messages as opposed to calls and tweets. So give us a call, 713-780-ESPN. That's 780-3776. We're here till 4 o'clock. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Now, let's not forget Quick Nick either on those bump backs. Because it's Barry, Joel, and of course Quick Nick and his quick trigger finger as he enlightens us with sound effects, tunes. And at least when Barry's here, it doesn't become Casey Kasem's request line.
Referring to trap?
Yes. Which then becomes karaoke on live radio. So, yeah. And the hidden fun fact that we didn't know was Travis is a country music guy.
I know my limits. Singing?
First of all, you don't, but let's be honest there, too.
Touche.
Okay.
But singing is one of those that I...
Well, that's why we did Friday. We did karaoke Friday, but what karaoke song do you go to?
But y'all were singing like every bump in and out?
No, not every one. Travis was singing every one. I did a couple. But here's the thing.
So y'all sang?
My thing is, some people really liked it.
Yeah, I liked it when he didn't know the lyrics.
Travis doesn't know the lyrics, but here's my thing.
Y'all are horrible
when
singers.
When I say, what's your go-to karaoke song? My thing was, I'm going for a song that I don't have to try and carry a tune because I can't.
Bust a move,
and
Young MC.
I'm not going to embarrass myself. I'm going to kind of look. So like I said, the first American white rap star was Neil Diamond, and I was trumped by someone who said actually it was Johnny Cash, which I would also go with because they don't really sing. They talk, which is helpful. But that's where it started. And then Trap would like request songs, and then he goes, nah, 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 and he just start humming and kind of bust
the best part.
You know, can I trump you on Neil Diamond and Johnny Cash? James Brown. Go back and listen to James Brown's music.
I can see that, too.
He rapped way more than
he sang. But who was on the scene first? Was it James Brown or was it Johnny Cash?
Oh, James Brown.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
So you are guessing.
I have no idea. But James Brown would be one of those guys. I'm just glad I missed singing. If you can't sing, I don't want to hear that. Lauren Pope said, Romo's speech was pretty heart-wrenching, and I feel for the guy, but don't fix what ain't broke. I agree.
That's completely right.
And someone had a point. Arian's Fetus tweeted me and said, if the word meritocracy doesn't scream publicist, I don't know what does.
Without question, the PR department was involved.
Great point.
Yep. That's exactly what I said, too. And I'm like, the minute that a guy takes the podium and says, I'm not going to be taking questions, but I hope this covers everything you would ask me, which it doesn't.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the cowardly approach of, okay, here, you wanted a statement, I'm giving you one, but that's it. And then I'm bowing out.
Oh, I don't know. I wouldn't say cowardly. I mean, would you want that headache of having to sit there and just answer the same questions over and over, just phrased a different way?
It's part of the
job. I don't think it's cowardly.
I think it's part of the profession. When you know, there's going to be times as a professional athlete, you're going to be put on the spot. And the best thing to do is hit it head on once and be done with it. But even when you hit it head on, are you being honest? Because the big thing then becomes, are you telling us how you really feel? Or are you saying the politically correct thing?
Yeah, but the media, everyone in the media, us included, are horrible about harping on it and hounding on it and asking the same questions 100 different ways. And I wouldn't want to put up with that. It's like, look, I made a statement. There's no gray area. There's nothing I'm going to change by you asking me questions. This is the information I want you to have. Anything that you would ask outside of that, I wouldn't give you an answer anyways. So what's the point?
Well, here's my thing. A lot in dealing with this for as long as I have, the thing that I would always go to our players and say is, look, let me be the outlet that delivers your message your way one time. Instead of, because look, let's be honest, there's media people out there that whatever you say, they're going to dig and instigate and try and get you to go off the rails, especially if it's a volatile personality. And I go back to all the way starting with Vernon Maxwell, when I would say, look, if you want to get the story out and get your side of it out, instead of doing it in a scrum in the locker room where people are going to take shots at you, let's go in the training room, give me 3.5-4 minutes, I'll put it out there. And this was before social media, and at least people will hear your story your way. And he would do that. And that's the bigger problem is when you get in those scrums, because you're going to get a couple people that are, look, they just want to hear it from you. And then you're going to get a couple other people that are like trying to become famous that want to get their 15 seconds by baiting you to the point where you lose it.
Here's an interesting question. Guys like that.
Or, okay, you say that, but what you really mean is, isn't it?
And then it becomes, and then it devolves into Marshawn Lynch when he was his last year or two, the way he would answer
the media.
He's
getting all fined and everything.
Yeah. I'm just here so I don't get fined. I'm just here so I don't get fined. So, I mean, I think I'm fine with the way Tony Romo handled it. I think good for him. For being able to come out and do it, because that would be very difficult.
It's good for the team. Just like you said, for us, it's good for everyone to just put this thing behind us. Yep. The decision's finally been made, and everybody's commented on it, from Jerry Jones to Romo. Let's just go forward.
I totally agree.
And Dak, I feel bad for Dak, because Dak's not good, because he has to talk to the media once a week.
Yeah.
He's going to still get grilled by it.
Yeah. Somebody said, I think it was on Twitter. Yeah, Douglas Reed said, I-69 is going to be an interstate down to the valley. So no more stoplights. So in other words, now you can get all the way down to like McAllen and the valley down there in South Texas. Right now you got to go through stop signs and stoplights or whatever. So,
but I thought
you can get all the way down there, because there is no interstate highway that goes down there.
So I thought it was 59 to a certain point, and then when that development was handled, when it's finished, that would be the 69 part. But now they're referring to the whole thing as 69.
Yeah, I guess. No, I mean, I think there's some parts that were 59.
All right. Michael, you want to chime in on Tony Romo? Welcome to the show. What's up?
Not much. How you guys doing today?
Hey, what's up, Michael?
Sir.
Okay, now, I heard you talking about if, you know, you had the opportunity to pick him up, say, for instance, off a free agent, that you would consider it. Well, I'm a firm believer in experience is the best teacher. And from his history, Tony Romo has just been too fragile. Now, I mean, considering his framework and, you know, what he brings to the table, I understand that. But, I mean, the Cowboys have invested so much into this man over the past, say, 10 or so years, and they've really had nothing as a result. They've got a couple division titles, maybe one or two, so to speak. But they insert that, and immediately they see a change. I mean, almost instantly. He's not fragile. He's not afraid to run. He's not afraid to step up in that pocket and deliver an accurate throw. We saw last week when he connected with Dez that chemistry is getting better. So his makeup is far. I mean, for Tony to be a veteran in the game now, Dak is showing stuff that a fourth-round quarterback should never be able to show. So I applaud the Cowboys, you know, scout team for looking that up and getting him in there. But not to get off past, I just wouldn't do it, because, you know, it's too much of a risk because, I mean, the past four seasons, this guy has played maybe a handful of games, and you touch him and he breaks. I mean, if I was Minnesota or, you know, even Cleveland looking for a quarterback, I would consider it, but I just wouldn't do it at the end of the day for the simple fact that you're really jeopardizing your team because this guy has not proven that he can even stand somebody touching his shoulder or his leg without him getting injured.
Michael, we appreciate the call, man. Good stuff there. The thing is that you don't have to make a decision this year because the cap is what it is. The salaries are what they are. The deadline's passed. So you got them. And as Barry and Keenan and everybody have discussed time and time again, if you can be in a situation where you have two quality signal callers in a season, you're in a great spot because it's hard to do, especially because you're balancing money, and most quarterbacks get a lot of money.
Well, yeah, and they're not letting him go this year. I'm looking at the cap numbers for him. 2016, his base salary is $8.5 million. He's got a signing bonus for $5 million, options bonus of $1.6 million, right?
That's for this current season.
Yeah, his restructuring bonus is $5.7 million. He's got a cap hit of $20.8 million.
Next year?
This year. And if they cut him, it would be $40 million in dead cap money. So if they cut him, they're either going to cut him in 2017.
Well, but that's next year.
Yeah, or 2018, where it cuts down from next year.
So next year, they're on the books for 20, though.
Next year, they're on the books for $19.6 million.
I'll tell you what, we'll give you Brock Osweiler,
and
you give us Tony Romo, and at least they got someone that can call signals on Kirby.
But here's the thing. Think about this now. He goes from $19.6 million in dead cap money next year to, in 2018, it drops to $8.9 million. So no, let me finish. Let him be the backup quarterback in 2017. So you don't take that dead cap money
of
almost $20 million. And then if you want to cut him in 2018 to save some money, you're only cutting about $9
million. Okay, but that's fine.
So you go from 40 to 20 to 9.
That's fine. But at the same time, Barry, consider this. So you keep him on your roster,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you keep him and you're paying him that exorbitant amount of money.
Mm-hmm.
That money could go towards either keeping guys you already have or getting more players in depth that you need so that you can stay competitive for a Super Bowl. Because right now it's pretty safe to say they're in the driver's seat in the NFC.
Yeah, if you don't trade him. But if you cut him,
I'm saying, but after this season,
you lose the money.
You either trade him or you end up having to keep him.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that just like the Sam Bradford situation, there's probably going to be a team out there. There's a few teams that are going to place a few calls and at least do the due diligence and look at it because of the fact that they need a quarterback desperately, and also because the Cowboys, like I said, are probably going to be in a financial situation where a lot of these guys are going to come up, and you're going to have to either pay them or let them go, and you don't want to let them go because you want their vital roles on your team.
Yeah.
And that's where maybe instead of being casual and saying, well, listen, we don't have to do a thing, you start thinking maybe we have to do something too because we need the money to take care of the rest of our guys.
Well, if you're getting his salary, I can just tell you that the ideal year to cut him is 2018 because the balance between what his base salary is, his base salary is $20 million in 2018, but his dead cap money, if you cut him, is $9 million. So it flips from 2017 to 2018 significantly.
Yeah, so I think by 2018 he's washed up.
Yeah, but I mean, if you can't get a good draft pick for him, then why not keep him for his depth? Keep him for depth in case Dak gets hurt, God forbid. And then in 2018, you can make the decision to cut him or not. Because financially, it would make a lot more sense to do it that way.
I agree, but here's my thing. One, I think by the time we hit 2018, regardless, he's pretty much done, I think.
He's 36, he'll be 38.
Yeah, and I think that from the other standpoint, look, from a Cowboys perspective, if you're like the Eagles, if you make me an offer I can't refuse, and it's a double positive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying not an offer like, you can't refuse.
Like, if you get, okay, so here's
the
thing.
But if somebody says, hey, we'll give you a sixth-round pick.
Yeah, but take the Eagles deal, okay? So someone says, we'll give you a one.
No one's giving you a one for Tony Romo. No,
you don't know that.
Nobody.
If they're desperate.
A 36-year-old quarterback made out of glass?
Right.
No one's giving you a one for that.
But look at what Sam, look.
Sam Bradford is.
Sam Bradford was dinged up his whole career and hasn't even come close to putting up any numbers.
He's also not 36 with.
I agree with that, but that's the only thing that he had going for him.
He's also not, you know, as old with the money he's due over the next 4 years.
Desperation and desperate times cause for desperate measures. I think someone was going to give a higher pick if they feel like they can salvage their team.
They'd be silly.
We'll see.
All right,
we got plenty more show to go. We've got the Romo discussion out of the way. How about the college football rankings? Did you see that coming? Because I certainly didn't. And I'd like to know who, as we talked about in the last break, who is the spokesperson that tries to do the splaining to try and figure out where that logic came from that two teams lose last weekend and they maintain their spots in the top four. Talk about that and a whole lot more. ESPN 97.5.
Don't shave your upper lip.
November is Movember at Gal Media. Brought to you by the Boardroom Salon and Man Centers. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Barry and Joel along with Nick till 4 o'clock. We've got the Romo discussion out of the way. We've cleared the board and we have just received the most informative tweet yet of the day. We are told we are missed by one Travis Johnson.
Oh, miss you
but he's
too,
at the Golden Nugget playing video poker.
With a stogie in his grill.
If Travis is out anywhere, he's got, as he calls it, the stick. He's got a stick.
But that stash is looking pretty dope. Pretty sweet. I got to admit, not creepy at all.
He's not even worried about the stash, though.
Not
he's
creepy
worried about
at all.
The chin music, because he said that literally shaving it displayed more chins than he had any intention of ever showing.
And you can't have a beard. You can only do the mustache in Movember.
That's the rules?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, then, my wife who said she didn't like it, I could have done that. I could have just done the Fu Manchu, and then it would have solved both problems, because I got that little gray patch on my chin. If I had been able to shave it and make it Yosemite Sam, I'd have been fine.
You see this? You see how much gray I have?
Yeah.
Have you ever used Just for Men?
No.
I bought some.
Did you really?
Yeah, I bought some, and I'm going to try. I have a comedy contest tomorrow. I'm in the finals, so I didn't want to do it. I was going to do it last night.
As a pro, you're allowed to do a contest?
Yeah, it's for $1,000 if you win.
Okay.
And I'm in the finals, so everyone should come out and vote for me. Joke Joy Comedy Showcase.
After they donate to our Movember account.
8 p.m. Ooh, if I win, I'll donate $100.
Look at that. So, and we've got two people.
So everyone should come out and vote for me.
We had Scott.
It's audience vote.
Did you figure it out? Is it Will from Deer Park, too?
Yeah,
it's going to match?
Yeah.
So Scott and Will from Deer Park are both going to match whatever we raise between now and the end of the week for Travis's Movember efforts.
Yep.
So therefore,
AD donated?
Yep.
Yeah, that was awesome.
AD, that was great of AD. One of our guys, our guru of everything technical,
yep,
donated.
Our head engineer,
so
yep.
It's on you. El Jefe,
he said we sounded pathetic.
That was the whole point of it.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes to
y'all
get it
know
done.
Me, I'm not
and then
above
El Jefe,
groveling.
We tried to guilt him into it, and then he was like, I'll have to think about this, but he didn't come up, just like his Super Bowl bet. He came into Trailer Wheel and Frame the one day just bragging that the Texans were going to the Super Bowl. I said, you want to bet? He disappeared quietly again.
Yeah.
He pulled his El Jefe on air voice and was just I'll get back to you.
Bet's all right.
And then he took off.
Real money? I don't do that. That's not
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I'm a Christian. I don't bet.
Yeah. And he went back to watching the reruns of The
people.
Good Wife.
Yeah.
So
anyway.
Help us out.
No, real quick, though.
I
bought this Just for Men.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Because I don't like, I try to rock the goatee because I can't grow a beard. But my goatee is so gray. Like, I shave my head pretty close. You can't really tell that I have gray hair because it's so short. But in the goatee, it's really bad. I look like a 65-year-old man.
I'd leave it, man.
No.
Just the way it is.
So I'm going to try this. So if I come back looking like, if my face is like this glowing brown, or if it stains my face, it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking a picture of that.
Oh, yeah, me too. Oh, don't worry. It'll already be plastered all over social media if it goes awry on Saturday. But I wanted to wait, so I'm doing it Saturday. So when I show up Tuesday, if I'm looking young and handsome and spry, you'll know why. Yeah, that's right.
All right.
So I can't believe you never tried it, Joel.
I don't need it, but here's the thing.
You just said you had gray hairs
on my chin. You would put Just for Men on your chin like that?
Yeah, if it works, I'm probably using it around my crotch, too.
Oh, boy.
If you manscaped a little bit, cleaned it up. Oh, no, I shave down there. I get it all nice.
I'm sure you got a weed whacker and a hedge trimmer.
It gets a little unruly. I'm not going to lie. It
get
does.
The ripcord going on that thing.
That's why I shave. You gotta keep it neat down there, but I might Just for Men down there if I
wow.
Yeah.
Then I can wear my throw up in the back of my mouth and have a bad visual I can't erase.
Then I can start wearing my Speedos again.
No, your Barry Nuthuggers that Dre on 290 only seems to put up as his handle when you're not around.
I don't know why you're seem opposed to this. When we hang out at the pool, you don't seem to mind it.
First of all, we're not gonna hang out at the pool ever. and I would mind it. So we'll be very clear on that. As opposed to, like, if I say something, you say, no, nah, there you go.
No. So is Travis winning any money? Do we know?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out if he's at the Nugget in Louisiana or if he's at the Nugget in Vegas. Because there are options, you know. I would imagine, since he has to go down to Tallahassee to promote his Kia dealership on Friday, and he won't be joining the show, that he's probably closer to home than Vegas. But we'll have to find out, because I've tweeted him, and we'll find out. And if you're following the show, you'll know.
Word up.
So we got that going for us, which is nice. So U of H, Nick, big game tomorrow night.
Yeah,
you're not going? As big as it once was, but yet, are you going? Are you fired up?
You talking about Cougar basketball?
Yeah. Yeah, Kelton Sampson and the crew are looking for another big dub.
Good times.
So Louisville.
How much do they lose by?
They're not losing.
Well, now.
Okay.
Now, look, Nick, let's just be real honest, okay?
Yeah.
Here's the big deal. They have the red ass because the rankings came out last night.
Yeah.
And the two teams that lost, Michigan and Clemson, both remained in the top four. Louisville is the team that takes it in the hiney. So because they have the red booty, they're going to come in here and have an H-Town takeover of their own, because they're going to have to try and make another statement, because now they got to hope Michigan loses to Ohio State or Clemson loses their conference championship game or something like that, because Clemson's schedule, and we can go back and look at it, but it's not that daunting the rest of the way. It looks like they just got a gimme. Both teams did. And before, you know, everybody said, well, Michigan beat three top 10 teams.
Yeah, somebody tweeted Michigan. That out. Who was that?
You know, that's great. But at the same time, you lost to an unranked Iowa team. Okay?
Jason, yeah.
And that hurts. So at this point in the season, yes, you still only have one loss, but that's a really bad loss. So other than Alabama, who's undefeated, everybody at least has one loss, and we'll just see how it plays out. Because Michigan still, I'm fine with Michigan staying if that's the way he feels about it. Jason feels that. That's fine, Jason, but here's the thing. You still got to beat Ohio State. So if you do, and of course, you get to the Big Ten championship game, you win that, then hey, I tip my cap. That's the best conference in the country right now, based on the fact that they have four in the top 10, I believe, four or five. So they're loaded. So whoever comes out of that conference should be, in my estimation, in the Final Four. I'm fine with that. Clemson, close call with Louisville, arguably was getting beat for 3.5 quarters.
Well, here's why I think Clemson is over. Is they have Clemson at four and Louisville is at five.
Yep.
Because they've played head to head. When you look at the schedule, you know, if you're looking for quality wins, Clemson has Auburn. The win over Louisville and Florida State. Louisville has Florida State. They lost to Clemson, and then what if they get this win at U of H? So I think when you look at the two, the fact that they've played head-to-head, and I think Clemson has more quality wins on their schedule, that's why they got the fourth spot and Louisville didn't. And Michigan, for the same reason that Jason said on Twitter, I mean, they do have those three big wins, and those are all teams that are highly ranked right now. So their one loss to Iowa is not a great loss. They lost 14-13. They didn't get blown out, and it was on the road, and it's a Big Ten game. So things could have been a lot worse.
Just surprising to me, because I thought when you lose this late in the season like that, I thought both teams would have had to earn their way back in.
But if you look what they did with A&M, which, by the way, somehow still managed to stay in the top 25.
But at 25, right?
But it's ridiculous that they should not be a top 25 team. But if you look what they did with A&M, the fact that they were losing and still stayed, went from 4-8, it seems that they're putting a lot of emphasis and a lot of weight on who you faced and where those people are around you. Because remember, A&M was over a much hotter Auburn team just a few weeks ago, even though everyone was like, well, A&M lost, why are they ahead of Auburn? Well, head-to-head, they had beat Auburn, and I think that's why they did it, which would be the same case for Clemson-Louisville. And Michigan, only having the one loss, I think that settles itself out when they play Ohio State. One of those two teams will drop out of the top four,
then you'll see Louisville. That's what I said, the winner of the Big Ten, in essence, comes down to the winner of the Michigan-Ohio State game.
Yeah.
Ends up representing the Big Ten, they'll be in it. And then Clemson, unless they slip up again, I think they're in it. Louisville's the odd team out, but Louisville's going to try and make statement games every week now to try and blow people out.
Well,
Scott Deer Park, of course, disagrees with us and does not see that Louisville win coming tomorrow night. But I got news for him, too, as I always do. Reality trumps your fandemonium, Scott. And you can refer to them as we, but we or us or them, they ain't getting it done against Louisville in my mind. And I was the guy that from the after the Oklahoma game, I thought U of H is going to really look forward to that Louisville game, get that big win, be right in the thick of it. But based on the two slip-ups to SMU and to Navy and then how they've played recently, I just don't see them being competitive with a Louisville team that has everything to lose if they slip up.
I'm going to say Louisville wins by at least two touchdowns.
I don't think that's saying enough.
Well, in my mind, I'm thinking 21, but
I think it's
Houston has surprised us in the past. So I'm going to say two touchdowns, but if I had to give you at least, I'm going to say at least two touchdowns, but if I had to make a definitive, I would say 21 points at least.
And Nick, your rebuttal to that would be?
I'm going to pick tomorrow. I don't want to pick against H-Town.
Is there a spread out yet?
I'm sure.
I'm just curious because I guarantee you that spread has moved a lot in the last couple of weeks. But I just look, and I'm a big Tom Herman guy, and I love what he's been doing. And I get it.
I'm not picking just to be a hater. If this was A&M, if this was A&M playing somebody like that, I have no problem saying they lose by 21.
But I just think at this point in the season, it's not what we thought it was going to be, and because of that, I see Louisville by at least 17 to 21 points, at least, and maybe more. Because, again, they're going to try and make a statement because, as we said, the body of work is what they're going to look at the end of the year when they try and do what they have to do to get into that Final Four. So let us know what you think. 713-780-ESPN. Hit us up on Twitter. We're here till 4. One in the books, two to go. ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.